so much for all that has been going on this weekend. And Lord, I just want to thank you publicly and before the very throne of heaven itself. Lord, I want to thank you for men who stand for the truth, like Dr. David Hawking, who love the fact that your Bible is the incredible, inerrant, holy, perfect Word of God that declares the imminent return of Christ and everything that we need to know to have a life that's worth living. And I want to thank you, Father, for the guest speakers that we've had, men who love you and are fearless, fearless to proclaim your word. And so, Father, we pray that you'd continue to bless. Lord, I'm asking if I can just tag along on those blessings that you've poured out upon our brothers this week. And Father, that you might bless this message to the going forth of our hearts and our ears. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning and turn for beginning place. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Hebrews 11, verse 10. We need you to turn there because we're going to be all over the Bible this morning because of the topic that was given to me today by Dr. Hawking. And of course, the conference has been entitled Israel and Bible Prophecy Conference. My message today is a new world is coming. A new world is coming. And what are we talking about when we talk about a new world? It almost sounds like some little flaky program. It sounds like some soap opera during the day. A new world is coming. Well, that's kind of what you hear if you go down to the beach in Malibu, maybe Venice Beach, maybe Laguna Beach here. People sit on a rock, they meditate, focus on their navel, and begin to hum, and hope, wish, dream in a new world. The mystics will do that, you know. There's in the heart of the mystics, Eastern mysticism, to usher in a utopia that nirvana can be experienced. And if we just have this focus, if we just do these things, there's a heaven to be had. There are those who believe that they can usher in heaven by global jihad, and that heaven that will come will be a heaven where men can have their absolute incredible pleasure fulfilled by 72 virgins perpetually, forever. There are those who think that attaining heaven is by projecting their inner being and their inner child that enters into a God state, that you can create your own reality with the intent that heaven would be established in front of you. What's all this stuff about heaven? Everybody wants a heaven of some sorts. Look, we all do, don't we? Think about it. Everyone's got their thing. If we just do this or if we just do the other, we'll create some sort of utopian heaven, maybe even have one here on earth, right? Why? Listen, it has been placed inside the human heart by God Almighty that we would hunger and thirst after heaven. The sad thing is, without Jesus Christ being the door in your life to get to heaven, for he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, through him, Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a heaven to be had, all right, and there is a new world coming. The Bible says a world in righteousness, which God has established. No doubt about it. But in the heart of man, if God does not fill that void, then all kinds of strange, aberrant, silly belief systems begin to take root to bring about a utopia. For those of you who are not religious, you're very practical. You would never be so silly to believe in a God or gods. You are your own captain of your own ship. You're trying to create a heaven on earth also. That's what drives so much of our society that is not content. It cannot be satisfied because it's driven with a passion to create a utopian type of world, even though it may be limited to the square footage of the lot of property that you live on or your house and how you decorate it. Or maybe it's defined by the numbers that are on the bottom line of your bank account. I don't know. But when we do not have God ruling and reigning in our hearts, we will go about, no matter how young we are or how old we are, we will go about to try to establish a new world to come. And I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to point fingers at you. I'm just telling you, it's in the heart of every human being, but there's only one way to have that hunger satisfied. And that's through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And so the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, For he waited for a city, that is Abraham, who waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Like Abraham, who entered into the relationship with the God of heaven, it was through a personal experience with God, personal relationship with God. He waited for a kingdom that was not made with human hands. As a Christian today, you and I are waiting for a kingdom to come. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are asking, Lord, come back and establish your reign and your rule on earth. Why? It's not only that it's going to be on earth for 1,000 years. That's called the millennium. That's one way of looking at it. The ultimate way of looking at it is that eternity in heaven with the Lord forever. That is a new world coming for sure. That's what I can't wait to experience, although the millennium is going to be awesome. Can you imagine Hawaii being everywhere on earth? North Shore, Oahu, oh yeah, all over. Jesus is going to come back in the second coming. And he's, for all of you tree huggers and whale watchers and all of you guys, I got good news for you. Al Gore can't do a thing for you. Don't look to Al, look to Jesus. He's going to fix it all. When he comes back in the second coming, he's going to, in fact, he says he's going to cause the deserts to bloom. That's going to be great. He's going to change the Mojave Desert, and it's going to be fantastic when he comes again. But the kingdom can be known to you now in your heart. There can be a new world coming in your life, and it all begins with accepting Christ. So as we get into our study, keep a few things in mind. These verses, before we jump into this, Jesus Christ said in John 6:51, I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone, did you hear that? If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. I love that. Everyone's running around, including myself, taking vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin. Hey, go ahead. Let's take our vitamins. But Jesus says, you want to live forever? Eat this bread. You eat of the word that I give you and you will live forever. You say, Jack, how can that happen? Because Jesus also said that if a man dies believing in him, yet shall he live. You know what that means? That means you're walking like this, you get hit by a truck, or you slip on a banana peel, or you choke. Your last breath here is your next breath there. Your blinking here is your blinking there. Translation. If a man dies believing in me, yet shall he live. I love that. Fantastic. In John 7:37, Jesus said, and the Bible tells us that it was the last day of that great feast, and Jesus stood and cried. By the way, the word means in Greek, with a loud voice. Can you imagine Jesus yelling? And he yelled this, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He also said in John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. Those three verses that I just gave you have this in common. If anyone, did you hear that? If anyone, are you a Buddhist this morning? He said, if anyone. Are you a Muslim this morning? Jesus said, anyone. If you are an atheist this morning, Jesus said, anyone. Are you willing to come to me? Think about it. That there's something greater than your Buddhism and your atheism and your Islam and your pretend Christianity, by the way. There's a lot of people who pretend Christianity on Sunday mornings. Jesus is greater than all of that. And he says, come to me. You'll never be hungry. You'll never be thirsty. And you'll never be lost. You'll live forever. Well, there is a new world coming. Number one, consider this. A new world is coming because it's according to the Bible. That's the authority. It's not because I want one to come. It's because the Bible says a new world is coming. What a great thing that is. How do we know that? The Bible says that a new world is coming because, first of all, note it, this Bible announces that this old world is broken. Can I have an amen about that? This old world is broken. Have you caught on? And you young people, I feel so sorry for you. I wish you were old like me. I pity young people today because, man, the world that you're growing up in is not the world I grew up in, and that was not all that long ago. You guys, we used to have fun growing up. We actually would go outside and play. Isn't that weird? We'd go outside and play. Now it's like this. Huh? Huh? What? No, we'd go outside and play. And we would actually experience things that were real. We would actually touch things and do things rather than touch the screen and see what it comes up next. Listen, it was simple. It was exciting. When I grew up in Orange County, we used to be able to ride our bikes all over the place to the beach, to Irvine Park, and my mom and dad didn't know what time we were going to get home because they didn't care what time we got home because we were safe wherever we went. There was no maniac rapist and freaks running around. It was amazing. Man, things have changed. This world's broken. Think about it. See, Jack, you're depressing me. Just hang on, because the message will end up. It will end up. It starts down. It'll end up. The Bible says this world is broken. The scriptures tell us, for example, using words like this, that the world that you and I live in has been subjected to sin. Did you know that? Sin. The Bible also says that we've been sold under sin. The scripture says in Romans 7:14, for we are carnal, sold under sin. And that happened via our original mom and dad through Adam and Eve. The word, by the way, sold means that we traffic. It means to traffic or travel. Listen, to traffic or travel with things, with burdens around our feet. Isn't that a graphic picture? That you and I live in this world that has been sold under sin. And as we just trudge along, we've got to go through the sin of this world. And those of us who are Christians, we know exactly how that is. Before we were Christians, we were looking for stuff to step in. But now that we're Christians, we're trying to stay out of the stuff to step in. But we still get it on our feet and in our lives. This world is broken. The Bible says it's broken. That's why everybody's trying to patch it up. Governments are trying to patch it up. Hey, listen, anybody who knocks on your door, calls your house, or comes across your TV screen and says, vote for me. I want more government to bless your life. They don't use the word bless. They might soon, but more government? More government? I don't need more government. I need more God in my life. I don't want more government. I want more God in my life. Be careful. I made a comment the other day and it upset a bunch of people. And I was told, don't say that again. What I said was, I wouldn't vote for either one of these guys that are running for president at this time because I wouldn't trust either one of them to clean out my garage. But listen, I got to tell you something. The truth of the matter is, this world's broken, and politics is a godless attempt to put the world back together. Humpty Dumpty fell. It's messed up. And listen, the truth is only Jesus can fix it. You say, well, what are you saying? Just throw up our arms and quit? No, stand for righteousness, stand for godliness. We've been commanded to do that. But know this, there will be no peace on this world until the Prince of Peace returns. Keep this in mind, the world is broken. The Bible says in Romans 8:21, this is very sad. Romans 8:21-23, it says, for all creation anticipates the day when God's children are joined in glorious freedom from death and decay. Did you hear that? Nature, Bambi's fed up with sin. True story, looking out my office on a Thursday having a meeting. Have you seen the pigeons and the doves that fly around the courtyard area here and all that kind of stuff? We're sitting there talking, and there's this white dove flying by, and poof, feathers everywhere. Look like a nuke went off. You know what happened? A hawk got that thing in mid-flight. Now, I got news for you. That hawk was saying, praise the Lord, I love... Go to Calvary, it's where you get fed. Right? The dove was saying, not good. Listen, the Bible says nature groans and travails waiting for the redemption of the sons of men. That's us. There's a new world coming. Hanging on to this globe. I don't know about you, but and I hope it's not because I'm getting older. I hope all of you are sensing this, that there's nothing much in this world that brings us any satisfaction anymore. It's just empty. Do you know what I'm talking about? Empty? It's like you get this and it's like, well, that's nice. It's not that we're not glad we got it. It's like, it can't do anything for me anymore. Wow. This world's broken. But the world, listen, the world without Jesus is going to do everything with your money possible to try to reassemble the world. Put this together. Don't do that. Use this. Don't use that. Sign on to this movement and all the other. It's very, very crazy. The world's desperate without God. The Christian, we need to be walking around just understanding, listen, my friend, I know your frustration, but there's a new world coming. Let's be real. We also know that there's a new world coming according to the Bible because Jesus Christ purchased this new world for us. I love it. Jesus bought it for us. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Did you know that? Don't raise your hand, but any of you are believing that you're keeping the Ten Commandments? Or you think you're keeping the Ten Commandments? Really? You think you're keeping the Ten Commandments? Did you know that God gave us the Ten Commandments because they can't be kept? You see, was he tricking us? Absolutely not. The Ten Commandments declare the righteousness of God. The Ten Commandments, by giving them, is to point to our sinfulness. Why do you think schools don't allow Ten Commandments in school anymore?
It offends the self-esteem of our children.
Do some research. I've already done it, so you do it. Look what happened to our social structure since the Ten Commandments were removed from public places, beginning with our schools. Look at crime, look at murder, look at rape. Just go ahead and plot it. Go ahead. It's amazing. Because the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not. And it goes into the conscience of someone, and it's almost like a dam holding back a river, a lake. God knew what he was doing when he gave it. And listen, the Ten Commandments points and says, God is holy and you're not. And the world without Christ says, I can't stand that. It makes me feel bad. I don't want to look at it. Remove it. I'm offended by it. Rather than look right at it, focus on it. You've seen those pictures where people say, I see a tiger in that photo. You know those things you stare at? My brain is like dead because I have never been able to spot anything like that. I look and they go, you got to just relax. I get nothing from it. Listen, when we look into the Ten Commandments, we say and we see the fact that we need Christ. Oh my goodness, I need the Lord. God's word, we need. The world is broken. Christ came to purchase us from the curse of the law. Because that very, very Ten Commandments that condemns us, Jesus came in and fulfilled. And through his obedience, we can inherit the kingdom of God forever. He did it. He purchased it. By the way, that word redeemed means to be fully paid. Jesus Christ fully paid your sin debt and mine at the cross. The Bible says in Revelation 5:9 that when John saw heaven, he heard those singing a new song. And this is what they sang. He says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you've redeemed us by your blood to God from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. Jesus did that. How are you going to get to heaven? Jesus. By his blood, he paid the debt that you and I could not pay. Romans 3, 23 and 25. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely through his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set up, listen, as a propitiation by his blood through faith. You say, what in the world does that mean? Jesus Christ, because we've all sinned, we've all missed God's perfect mark, God sent his son Jesus to be, and here's the word propitiation. You say, what does that mean? It means this, that there were those who were condemned. Jesus took upon himself their propitiation. That is, he stepped in front of me and said, Father, I'll go to the cross that's destined for Jack. I'll go there. Father, Jack's isolation from your presence, I'll do that on the cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's why he said that. He didn't say it because he was lost and wondering where the Father is. He was announcing that because God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And for the first time, Jesus experienced isolation from his Father, fulfilling the messianic psalm, Psalm 22. Jesus makes that announcement. And all the Jews in the neighborhood of the cross would have heard him say that. And they would have understood, behold, the Lamb of God that's taking away the sins of the world. And that's all of us. What a great and awesome God. There's a new world coming, but there's a certain way to get there, and it's through Christ Jesus. See, that's very narrow. It's more than very narrow. It's hairline narrow. Because God died on the cross, and he did that once, and he's not going to do it again. Jesus purchased for us salvation. There's a new world coming also Because the Lord, listen, the Lord wants us with Him. He wants to come and pick us up. The Lord's coming back. Have we forgotten that? I'm grateful that that was an ongoing theme throughout this conference this week, was the Lord is coming back. So many people are not even believing that anymore. You've got these people on radio making up reasons and excuses why you can't believe it. And you call yourself a Christian? My Bible says it's the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13 says. Jesus says, watch, you don't know when it's going to happen. So I don't want to hear somebody tell me, well, it's not going to happen. I had some lady come up to me this week and say, it's not going to happen. God told me to tell you it's not going to happen. I said, listen. No, she did. Hey, listen here. My Bible says it's going to happen. The God I'm listening to says it's going to happen. You say, when's it going to happen? I don't know. Could happen today. But the Lord's coming back. And listen, here's the thing. There's a new world coming, and for some, maybe us, during our lifetime, if the Lord chooses to come back in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, we will experience Him and His whole new world. We will be with Him. It's going to be an amazing thing. Listen to this. 2 Peter 3:13 says, we, according to His promise, I love that. It's not we according to somebody's goofball imagination. It says we according to His promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Don't you want the Lord to come back? He's going to bring righteousness. And in this verse, you guys, you have this memorized. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. I love it. It's about the rapture. Check it out though. It's so cool. He says there, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven. Listen, not only Himself. With the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who, notice, 2,000 years ago, Paul said, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds to be with the Lord. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, when you talk about the rapture, freak out, panic, and no. Verse 18 says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. This week, my goodness, a man that I'm greatly indebted to led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. June 20th, 1977, Greg Laurie laid his son Christopher to rest this week after being killed on the 91 freeway this week. And the theme of the whole service was, Greg's going to see his boy again. Kathy's going to see her son again. Jonathan's going to see, Brittany's going to see her husband again. Think about it. And I love that because the Bible says that Christ is going to come back, and those who have died in Jesus, He's going to bring with Him. Do you know anybody who knew Jesus and died? If the rapture happens today, they're coming in the clouds with Him in the air. All of us who are sitting here right now, boom, bang, wow. And the scripture says we'll meet Him in the air. See, Jack, that's insane. Oh, that's awesome. I got to tell you, if it was in some Spielberg movie, it would sound pretty nutty. But God's Word says it over and over again. It's going to happen. Could happen today. Jesus said, and I love this, Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me, for in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to you and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming again. Point number two this morning, a new world is coming, and it's exactly what we need. It is exactly what we need. God knows what we need. And this new world that is coming, it's not going to be found on earth. It's not going to be through some political decision. It's not going to be through some unification of nations. It's by the establishment of God, first of all, beginning it in your heart, and it's through redemption. He guarantees to us redemption. And I want to talk about this for just a moment. For all of us who are Christians today, listen. In fact, if you're not a Christian, you're not going to get what I'm talking about. It's just going to go right over your head because you've got no way of catching this. But if you're a Christian, you're going to say, man, isn't that true? Do you remember before we were Christian and we used to make plans to sin? Remember that? We'd pick up the phone, we'd call friends. Hey, what are we going to do Friday night? And you'd make plans on sinning. Now, we didn't call it that, but we got all excited about it because the prospect was pretty big. That we were either going to get plastered, or we were going to meet up with Bubbles, or that we were going to find whoever. And think about it. Don't look at me like that. You were probably... I'm kidding. Anyway, think about that. Then you become a Christian. And your friends call up. In fact, Bubbles can even call you up.
Hi, what are you doing?
And it's like, I'm sick. What changed? Something changed on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit moved in. That's what happened. And he's saying, no more Bubbles, no more. And he begins to take a broom and start sweeping in the doorways and hallways and rooms of our lives. And he just keeps working all along life's way. And the Holy Spirit, working in the life of the believer, does such amazing thing that here's where we are at now. When we live in days like this, you and I get up in the morning, and I don't know about you, or maybe I do, maybe we're all like this. You start waking up. You know that place where you don't know where you're at? Where am I? I travel a lot, so it's like, what hotel is this? And when you start coming to your senses, isn't the first thing that you hear is, Jack, what are we going to do today? Talk to me. Let's talk. Read my word. Next thought. I wonder what's for breakfast. Wonder what kind of day, wonder how the waves are at the beach. Do you know what I'm talking about? Every Christian goes through that. Before you even get out of bed, you're like, God or grits? I mean, I don't eat grits. I just put the G together. God, you know, eternity, eggs. You go, why is this happening? Because you're saved. Why is this going on? Because you're a new creation. There's a battle. When he redeems us, listen, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it's finished. You know what that meant? Finished. He is not going to die again. He doesn't need to be offered up again. He died once and for all, the book of Hebrews tells us, for us. Never going to happen again. He died once. Only had to happen once. He redeemed us, the Bible says. Redemption has taken place. It's happened. He guarantees it. But watch this. Here's the part that's amazing. In a real sense, though all has been done for redemption, and if you were to die today, you'd wake up with the Lord in an instant. That's all settled, you guys. For those of you who are trusting Christ, that's all settled. But you and I go through one more event that will seal or complete the redemptive act. It has nothing to do with performance on God's side. It has to do with time taking its course. And that is the moment you and I die, we are freed from these bodies of sin and death. The struggle's over now. It's no more eggs or eternity. It's eternity. No more battle between, do I go to church or do I watch American Idol? Gotcha. Think about it. What in the world is going on? When that happens, in fact, the Bible calls it, in the Greek, it's weighing anchor. I love that. When we weigh anchor, cut this body loose. I think Peter's the one who used the word tent, when we put this tent away. What a great word. Camping in a tent is cool for 3 days, maybe. When I was younger, we camped all over America. When we first had Rebecca and Ashley, we camped all over the place. Now, man, I want room service. I want, you know, done that. Why? Heaven's in my heart. This body's not fit for heaven. It's got to be changed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that in a twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed. Oh, that's going to be great. I got to tell you something. I don't think he'll be embarrassed by this. He shouldn't be at all. You guys, last night I started getting a migraine headache. You ever had one of those? Anybody? They're horrible. You want to get sick? They're terrible. Your brain feels like it's been beat up. Came to church this morning. I did not want to come to church today. I didn't want to open my mouth. I don't want to look at those lights because it makes it worse. And I told Marty Goetz, I said, man, I have such a migraine. I'm sick. And it was before first service. He was doing some sound check stuff. He just grabs me by the head. And he says, Lord, this is completely unacceptable. Jack's, no, I'm serious. He said, Lord, this is completely unacceptable. Jack's got to go to work. This is your business, God. He's here for you, and we're here for the word. And this is completely unacceptable. In Jesus' name, heal him. You guys, in about 1 to 2 minutes, the migraine was completely gone. Isn't that awesome? These bodies, we have to bring these bodies right now with us everywhere we go. Come on, carcass, come on. And then if we go have fun, we have to take Advil after the fun because it's all sore. Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on, he says, in the flesh, this will mean fruit to my labor. Yet I will choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between two things, he said, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. You know what a great way Paul was saying? I want to go home. Because there's some place, listen, there's some place to go home to for the Christian. This earth's not our home. We're going home. And only a Christian has that absolute deep assurance. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be what? Present with the Lord. Do you know that? You should know that. If you're going, you know it. It's incredible. So Paul was telling the church at Philippi, listen, I'll stay. It's good for you. But I want you to know, while I'm here, I don't want to be here. I want to be home with the Lord. How do you stop a guy like that? To live as Christ. Can you imagine? Paul, we're going to arrest you. Put you in prison. If you don't watch, we're going to kill you. Well, to live is Christ. I said we're going to kill you. Well, to die is gain. We're going to kill you. Okay, to die is gain. Okay, then forget it. We're going to let you live. To live is Christ. You can't stop a guy like that. He has sealed us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us. He is God. Who also has, listen, sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. First of all, the word seal here is to be embossed, stamped. We don't use that word emboss much anymore, but it's the signet ring. The king would take the ring of his kingdom and stamp it upon the wax, and whatever that thing was attached to, it's his. You can't mess with it. And the Bible says, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day God comes and picks you up. Don't you love that? Then the next word is that he's given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Do you know what's trippy, awesome, exciting? The word guarantee, we often use the word in English as a down payment. That's kind of a pathetic word. We don't have a good English word that supports the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. Let me just put it to you this way. The guarantee is he won't break it. He doesn't change halfway into the deal. God makes no contracts with us. Not one. You cannot find a contract that God makes with his people. He makes covenants with his people. When a husband and wife-to-be come down this aisle and we're going to marry them, we don't say, hey, all right, as we enter into this contract, all the attorneys go, hey, contract. You don't have a wedding with a contract. You have a wedding with a covenant. Why is that important? Because God says in his word, I've given you the Holy Spirit as my guarantee. And the same word in Greek for guaranteeing the Holy Spirit to our lives is the same word they used during the time of Christ to put an engagement ring on the bride. God says, listen, here's the ring. Holy Spirit, I'm coming back to get you. And ain't nothing going to separate that. He's awesome. Also this, there's a new world coming. It's exactly what we need because God offers us acceptance. God offers us acceptance. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4 says, for it was our Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father. What a great verse Galatians 1 4 is, acceptance. Isn't it amazing? Listen to this, how strange this is. Do not raise your hand. We might just love you to death if you do. Are you here today and you're not a Christian? You know what's funny about this verse? those of us who are Christians, we could just be quiet about this. We're going to heaven. We don't need to tell anybody. In fact, for over 30 years, I've been listening to Dr. David Hawking say, we tell people the gospel because we want as many men and women and boys and girls to be with us as possible. Listen, let's be honest. I know I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm going. He's faithful. He's going to get me there. I'm resting in him. He's going to do it. I could just say, God bless you, amen, good night, and we're out of here. What are we doing here? Let's be honest. Do you have neighbors? Do you have relatives? Do you have a husband or a wife? Do you have kids that don't know Jesus? You say, yeah, man, I'm one of those people. They won't leave me alone. Constantly telling me about Jesus. Putting tracks on my lunch. They're putting Christian stickers on my dog and all kinds of stuff. They drive me crazy. These Christians drive me crazy. You want to know why we drive you crazy? This one reason. Think about it. Why should we care if you go to heaven or hell? Think about it. We're going. Why don't we just say, we're going. You're not. We can't. We plead with you. We want you to have what we've got. We're going with or without you. But God's love has so permeated our hearts that we can't stand the thought of you not being there with us. Think about it. Yeah, we're weirdos. And yes, man, those people at church are a bunch of crazies. Yep, we are. God saves losers. Put me in the front of the line. Okay, here we are. But let me tell you something. We may be goofballs, but we love you and we want you with us. What's so wrong about that? You want acceptance? You're so intolerant. Intolerant? I'm telling you now, come. He wants you there. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. How can you find fault with that? All right, are you sitting down? Hang on. I'm going to say this verse before it's illegal in a few months. After November 4th. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 8 through 11. A verse in Canada can put me in jail. Can't read this verse in England. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 8, he says, "No, you yourselves do wrong," he said to the church at Corinth, "you cheat." He's talking to the Christians. "You do wrong and you cheat. You do these things to your brethren." Verse 9, "Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators." Paul says fornicators are not going to heaven. Now, do you know what a fornicator is? A fornicator is somebody who's having some form of sexual interaction with someone else. I put it that way because it can be pornographic. It can be sex between those that are not married. It can be what the kids are now saying from the Clintonian age, truly, from Bill Clinton. We just take our clothes off in front of each other and satisfy one another. We don't touch each other, so we're not sinning. Oh, yeah. That's what your kids are learning. It's not sex. It's fornication. The Bible says you're not going to heaven. Next verse. Nor idolaters. You worship stuff. You say, I don't worship stuff. When you say, I can't live without that, it's an idol. Do you find your identification in something? Is it the clothes? Is it the car? Is it the money? Is it the degree? What is it? Is it the power? Adulterers, you know what that is. Just turn on a soap opera any given hour of the week. Adulterers, having sex with someone who's married. By the way, that can be two people who are married having sex with somebody else, or it can be one is married and one is not married. It's still adultery. God says you're not going. Nor homosexuals. That's illegal in Canada and Europe. Can't say that. Why? Because these are all sins of choice. No one's born. You're not born an idolater. You're not born a fornicator. You're not born a homosexual, scientifically proven. It's a choice. By the way, let me say this while I have your attention. It's mighty quiet in here. It is a sociological, social science fact that where there's no father present in a home or a very weak father and a domineering mother, or where there's sexual abuse in a home, the children have a high propensity of growing up homosexual. You want to know why? Because God knew exactly what he was doing when he invented the family. Contrary to our feelings, God wants a family to be a mom and a dad and kids. It's worked for thousands and thousands of years. We goof it up when we kick God out of it. And listen, this coming November, you're going to have a chance to vote yes on Proposition 8 to define marriage. Listen to this. This is going to be amazing. I know how I'm going to vote, but you have the opportunity. Every person in California, Christian or not, will have the opportunity to say yes to God's Bible or no to God's Bible. And I believe that's going to bring about either a blessing or a great judgment upon California. You mark the days after November 4th, because watch what happens. God says marriage is between a male and a female. Yes on 8 says, yes, a male and a female. No on 8 says, no, anybody, you can marry any gender, anytime, anywhere. Okay? So what's in the news today? What's in the news today is AT&T is dumping millions of bucks with Wells Fargo Bank and Pacific Gas and Electric to defeat yes on 8. They want the Christians to shut up and get out of town. And so, man, when I got that news, this church canceled our AT&T phone coverage. No Wells Fargo Bank. I banked there personally. We're canceling that thing immediately. And I don't know if I get my gas from Pacific Gas and Electric or not. But you guys, listen, we're in a battle. We're in a war. And it's about God's word being undermined and attacked. Make no mistake about it. You better vote biblically on November 4th, not emotionally. God will hold each individual accountable for this stuff. Listen, what am I saying? Believe it or not, when God says this, listen to this. This is awesome. And I saw some people get up and walk out before I got to finish this verse. And too bad for them. Okay, because they can't handle this. Watch this. Political correctness is trumping the gospel. Watch this. Nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous people, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor those who commit extortion shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. He said this in Corinth, Greece. Verse 11, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Is that not awesome? That's me in here. That's me. Can you find you in here? Listen, I know where I'm at. And you say, Pastor Jack, where are you in there? What did you do along those lines? I'm not telling you. I've been washed, man. Listen, there's great news. There's no way that you could have sinned beyond God's ability to forgive. His blood's greater than your sin. You don't have to live anymore in guilt. All done with that. And then listen to this, sanctification. A new world is exactly what you and I need, the world that Christ brings to our lives, because he provides this incredible satisfaction. I said sanctification, I meant satisfaction. In Psalm 16:11, the Bible says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what God's satisfied. Are you satisfied when you get stuff in this world? Let's be honest. You get a brand new car, pretty cool, smells awesome, great stuff, great, for a month, it's wonderful. A bird either bombs it or somebody scratches it, and it's like, oh, it's over. Clothes, thing, what is it? And it's all getting old. The Bible says the things of this world, they're evaporating, it's wearing out. You're not satisfied. You can't be satisfied. God, listen, it's great. God made you so you can't be satisfied unless you're with him. I like that. Some people find that out sooner. Some people find that out later. Save some money. Find out now that Jesus satisfies you. It's the only way to live. He satisfies you. The scriptures tell us, listen, you want to be satisfied both now and forever. Revelation 21 verse 4. How great is this? That kingdom that's coming, it says God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain there, for the former things have passed away. Isn't that good news? Man. Third and final point. We'll wrap it up in the next few moments. There's a new world coming, my friend. We ought to get excited about it because it's yours for the asking if you want it. Did you know that? It's yours for the asking. It's the very purpose as to why Christ came. You say, I thought Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. Of course he came to die for our sins. What's the result of him dying for our sins? So that you and I would be with him in heaven forever. It's the very reason why he gave us this Bible. From this book, in this book, of this book, is God announcing to us, I love you and I want you in my kingdom forever. It's yours for the asking. Jesus said in John 18:37, he says, he says to Pilate, you rightly say that I'm a king. Pilate said, are you a king? Because you've rightly said I was a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Do you hear him today? And then why? Why you should ask? Why should you ask for this new kingdom to be true in your life? Why ask? Honestly, I just speak from personal experience. Maybe it applies. I would say to someone today that you should ask him to come in for this one reason alone. Yes, we've mentioned about forgiveness and acceptance and all of that. But for me personally, if someone would have told me, Jack, you know that feeling you have on the inside that really runs your life. It really governs your life. And that is, you're afraid to be alone. You don't want to be alone. Have you noticed, Jack, all your life you've wanted to surround yourself with either people or noise or an event or an amusement park? Do you know what amusement means? Muse. Muse is to think, 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 think. Means to not think. That's why we all go to Disneyland. You come out of reality, you leave reality, and you pay this incredible fee, and you go in, and you go, There's something about it. Look, Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Nothing's real. Amusement park. Brainless park. That's what it means. Amuse is to unplug your brain from reality. Okay? When I, all my life growing up, until that Monday night when I heard the gospel, I never wanted to be alone. Hey, man, what are you guys doing tomorrow night? The day I got saved, from that day on, I wouldn't say I'm a loner. But from that day on, it's been over 30 years, from that day on, I'm always now looking for the opportunity to get alone with him. Because from that moment, he's never, the consciousness, the presence, that sense. I mean, I'm a guy, I don't know how to tell you girls this, and I don't know how to tell you guys this, but it's just like a squeeze, you know? It's just like he's there. It's like his hand's on my back. I never knew that before. And the day I got saved, it was just, man, he's with me. I couldn't even explain. I can't explain it now. But I know wherever I go, there he is. It's awesome. That's why you should say yes to him. Among all the other incredible benefits, including forever. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:18, that their foolish hearts, that their hearts were darkened in their understanding, and they were separated from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That's the life I used to live until he got a hold of me. And if you find yourself in that place today, you should ask him, Lord, come into my life. My heart's darkened. I don't have much hope. The earthquake the other day. Was that not awesome? You guys were asking me, you know, for months I've been saying to you guys need to get ready. You need to get ready. Remember, I've been saying this over and over again if you've been listening. I've been saying, I don't know what's going on, but for over a year and a half, the Lord has been impressing upon my heart. Something amazing's coming. I don't know what, and I don't know what it is. And some of you were so funny. Pastor Jack, was that it? Was that it? Was that what you were thinking about? Was that it? I got phone calls. People stopped me in the hall. Was that it? Was that it? You wanted me to say, yep, that was it. It's all over now. That was not it. But I got to tell you, isn't it amazing to be a Christian when the ground goes 8 inches under your feet? like that. And how cool was it of God to have the epicenter in Chino Hills? It's amazing. We should have had a service right then. If our phones would have worked, we wouldn't have been great. But no, I mean, think about it, though. Weren't you glad you were a Christian in that second? It's funny. The walls are shaking. Stuff starts falling. It's like, Lord, I'm a Christian. This is amazing. You see all the non-Christians? They're just, oh, and they always go like this. Oh, God. Oh, God. Have you noticed the non-Christians? They're cussing. They're goofing off. Then the earth moves. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'm making fun of you. It was amazing. It was pretty amazing. When you ask him, he'll be there. I make light of that, but I'm telling you, when you ask him, he'll be there. And then we end with this, will you ask him? That's the big deal. I saw a little kid the other day. His mom's trying to feed him. I don't know what it was. You know, baby food's pretty terrifying looking. It's green. It looked like, I don't know what it was. It wasn't a normal green. It was an alien looking green. It looked like it had already been eaten before. Anyway, the thing's coming in, and it's got all the, you know, you read the bottle, it's got all the nutrients that it needs for the little guy. And, you know, it's coming, and the kid goes, you know what I'm talking about? And the parents, you make all these stupid sounds. It's an airplane. And the kid's like, mm-mm. So many people, when they hear the gospel, that Jesus, listen, Jesus loves you so much. God sent his son into the world to die for your sins and for mine. The Bible says, by the way, it was his joy. The Bible says that it was the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. Okay, well, I hope you have a good day after that, because he loves you so much. You don't need to have a bad day. But when you hear this, and maybe you were offended today, oh man, he mentioned sin like 9 times. Listen, Jesus died to take it away. I got to tell you that, because he paid a big price to take it away. And you consider today and go, I'm not going to taste and see that the Lord is good. No. Well, why not? Because there are some things that you give a little kid. And they're fighting and kicking. And in my mind, I see this guy. He's like 90 years old in a high chair, fighting and kicking all his life. I don't want it. Got no teeth, bald head, just like the little baby. And then there's a little bit on the lip. I don't want that. Peace. Rest, joy, love. And then you know when it happens, because they open their mouth, and I want more. To all of you, to all of us, we want more. For some of you this morning, I pray that you'll taste and see that the Lord is good. Because there's an awesome, awesome new world coming, and we want you there. We're going to be there. Why not be there with us? Don't lose out. Don't lose out. Let's pray. Father, we ask of you now. Oh, Lord. I'm just praying, Lord, you know my heart. Someday will be our last service on a Sunday. It'll be over. Maybe you're coming Sunday afternoon. Maybe you're coming on a Monday night. Maybe you're coming on a Friday morning. But someday it will be our last chance to preach and to teach your word. Lord, we pray that the finish line is as close as we sense. Father, right now as we do pray, we're asking, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move upon this body of gatherers here today. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians, please be praying for those around you. I'm going to ask there to be a stillness and a hush over the sanctuary while decisions are made. I'm asking you right now, if today you believe, if God has touched your heart, and I'm not talking about feelings, I'm talking about it made sense. You may want to argue about it still, I understand that, but inside you're saying, well, man, there's a lot of sense to this. That's the Spirit getting your attention. I can't make that happen. Will you say yes to Him? Do you believe with us that the Bible declares He died, Jesus did, on the cross for our sins? He redeemed us from the curse of the law that is hounding you even now. And that right now you would be saying, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. I want you to cover my life. And Lord, now I give you my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Lord, I've got so much pain. I'm angry about this or the other. I'm upset. I'm wounded by this or that. I'm coming to you, God, with all my baggage. I come to you with all my failures. I recognize today I cannot save myself. If that's you today, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. But Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And if you deny me before man, then I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven also. I'm looking around the sanctuary. I'll see your hand go up. And if that's you today, will you raise your hand? God bless you. Anyone else? On the aisle, God bless you. In the back, several of you in the back, a cluster of you up front there, God bless you. Anyone else? In the back, God bless you. Against the window, you can put your hand down. Anyone else? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Pray this prayer, will you? Dear Lord, forgive me. I come to you now. I don't want this to be some church service, and I don't want to have this as some other thing that I've tried. I'm inviting you, Jesus Christ, to take control of my life. Make me new. I want to start life over. I want to be different now. I want you to take control. I believe you died on the cross and rose again from the dead for me. And I'm asking you, Lord, to make me your child. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And you would say today, amen. And man, if you've made that decision today, we want to give you a Bible and we want to get in touch with you. And I promise you, please.